And I want you to turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. For the last few weeks, we've been taking a study on the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. And this will be study number 12, I believe. It'll be about the 12th message we brought on this subject. And a lot of people listening, I thank God for it. Tonight we'll do a review and maybe together and bring out some little parts and pieces that we've not put together. Last week was on the church. You remember how the church got started, and we talked about it. We'll be on the church some more. We preached quite a bit on the Jew, and we've talked a little bit about the Gentile. And by the way, that's the three entities in the Word of God, and the Bible's all about them three, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you find Christ on every page. You find Christ in every book. You find Christ in every chapter. You find the Lord Jesus in every verse. Amen. You'll find Him throughout the Bible. That's the central theme of the Bible. Amen. That's what the Bible's written for Jesus, and for us to see Him and see Him more clearly. And then at the same time see ourselves as a sinner before Christ. But as God deals with the Jew, then secondly God deals with the Gentile, and then God deals with the church. But I want to read one verse in the start of this tonight, and then we're going to back up. The 11th chapter of the book of Romans. And I want to read this one first, and then we'll stand and read the others. Verse 25, I believe I read this last Sunday night, and I pray that you'll get the thought. The Bible said in Romans 11, chapter 11, and verse 25, "For I would not, brethren," he's talking to the saints of God, "that you should be ignorant of this mystery." We talked about the mystery of the church. He said, "Lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And we dealt with another term, and I want to remind you this, and so that we get it fixed in our mind. There's two terms you need to remember. There's the fullness of the Gentiles, and then you find the others is the Gentiles, the day of the Gentiles, and when they're in the time that they are. And we'll find today that the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles is a term. The term is used here tonight of the church, and when the church is through, the Gentile will be through, not the church through, but when the church is raptured out and called out, then the fullness of the Gentiles will be over. But the rule of the Gentile, they'll continue on until Christ comes, puts His feet on the Mount of Olives, comes back to this earth. So there's two phrases you need to get fixed in your mind. But now let's read, standing please, in Romans chapter 11, and let's start reading with verse number 7. The Bible said in Romans 11, 7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminution of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness." Verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." You can be seated, and let's pray. Lord, tonight, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to rightly divide the Word of God. Help us, Lord, not to say anything tonight that we don't need to say. Help us to say everything that we should say. And I pray, God, you'd season our words with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, may our minds be open to the understanding of the truths of the precious book of God. I pray, Lord, you'd teach us some things and show us that which we need to recognize and see. And we'll give you the glory, the praise, the honor for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Remember this and put this in your notes. I said it before. Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11 deal with the Jew. And when we look at chapter number 9, it deals with the Jewish past, the past of the Jews. When you get to chapter 10, it deals with the present of the Jew. You remember what Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And then we'll deal with chapter 11, and chapter 11 deals with the future of the Jew. We know where the Jew's at tonight, and my heart goes out to the Jewish people, especially tonight when the world's trying to trample them under their feet and trying to annihilate them, get rid of them. Brother, I believe we ought to always befriend the Jew. It disturbs me that America has seemed to turn her back and go in the wrong direction of the Jew. You don't have to worry about what's going on in Israel tonight. God will take care of business, I'll assure you. They'll never be able to annihilate the Jew. They tried. They've been here long before you and I got here. And brother, God will take care of them. We'll see that in the Word of God. And we don't have any time tonight to get in all the Scriptures that we've given. But I want to go tonight and look at this and look at some things. God, I said this similar to this tonight, or this morning, God is faithful in keeping His promises. God has made many promises to the Jew. God's made many promises to the Gentile, and God's made many promises to the church. And God has been faithful in keeping every promise that He's ever made to all three. And God is faithful tonight in keeping all those promises that He's made unto all three. And God will be faithful to keep all the promises that He's made in the future to all three. So when it's all said and done, and when we get to the back of the book, and God puts thee in, brother, you can count on it, it's over. Amen. And it's all just like He said. From Genesis to Revelation, God don't put no words and no filler in the Bible. It's all there for a purpose. So I know that. Brother, God has made some covenants and some promises. And as we look at these promises tonight, we know He's made some promises to Abraham. Look at all the lands you see. That's going to be you and your children forever, your seed forever. And God's made some promises down the road to Abraham. He made some to David. He's made promises to different Jews all down through the years. And not only that, but He's made some promises concerning the Israelite in some other areas, such as there's going to come an awakening. The Jew tonight is in blind. He's blind in part. He's put on the side road. God has brought the church. Now remember this, and I'm going back over some things that by way of introduction and also by way of, it'll be repetition, but it'll be by way of just going over it to learn again. We know tonight that God deals with a Jew, and He's dealt with a Jew, and He's in the Old Testament, and God dealt with a Jew in the Old Testament, and He could not see the church. He could see the Messiah. He was looking for the Messiah, but He could not see the church. And then we know tonight when the Jews said, away with Him, let His blood be on us and our children, crucify Him, crucify Him. They brought the condemnation of God upon them, and simply because they rejected Christ, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as such as received them, gave He power to become the sons of God. And brother, when He came to them and they rejected Him, then the Lord brought the judgment of God upon them and put them on the sideline and brought up a church. And now the church tonight's doing the job that God wants to be done in giving out the gospel. But one of these days the church will be through. Our days will be final. They'll be finalized. The Lord's coming to receive the church. He's coming to get the church. In a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, the last trump, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up and be with the Lord. You know that's the Bible. And so then what's going to happen is God's going to revert back to the Jew. And God's going to work with the Jew. So God's given some promising of some awakening. God said, one day I'll wake you up. He's telling that in the book of Romans here. He's also saying, one day I'm going to regather you. I'm going to bring you back into your land. 1948, this started back. They're still doing that tonight, and they'll continue to do it. And one of these days, the Jews will basically get back to their homeland. Now, right now, they're in a reason for not. There's a lot of Jews won't go back to Israel. Some of them don't want to go. But one of these days, God will change their attitude. God will change their mind. You believe God can change their mind? He's changed yours a lot of time, hadn't He? God knows how to change our minds. So there's going to be a regathering. Actually, there will be a resurrection of the Jew in a certain respect. And I'm not saying raised from the dead, but He's going to bring them back out and put them back in the limelight and put them back on the main line. And the church will be gone. Then we know that He's also given them a promise of some judgment. Remember I talked about this morning that there's going to come a time of Jacob's trouble on the earth, such as never has been nor ever will be. And the Jew hasn't seen nothing yet. He's suffered, even in the Holocaust and all that he's gone through. But he hasn't suffered like he will suffer one of these days when God brings the judgment of God and the Gentiles and begin to trot him down. So we're going to see that that's going to happen. God's made that promise. So he's given them a promise of persecution. They will be persecuted. They will be driven out of their land again, just for a little short time, and then be gathered back in. And so I look at these things. But God says in the end, "Thy I will deliver you." He gives a promise of deliverance. He gives them a promise of glory. He gives them a promise of an eternal state. They are an earthly people with an earthly promise. We are a heavenly people with a heavenly promise. Now, I'm not trying to get fast and get ahead of you. Maybe I ought to slow down a little bit. But anyhow, I've got so much to say about this, and I trust that you'll just listen fast and we'll get it. All right? Now, many think that the Jew is over. They think it's through. Verse number 7 in chapter 11 of Romans says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." According to verse 8, it said, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day." So he tells us, are they through? No, they're not through. Because you go down in the Word, you find out, he says that they're not going to be through. God's not through with them at all. He's going to come back and deal with them again. And God will do that. Now, I'm going to give you some things tonight, simply, and then we'll go through them like this. Her current blindness that she has tonight will be lifted. It's hard to win a Jew to Christ. Did you know that? Matter of fact, it's got hard to win a Gentile. We're so gospel-hardened in America, brother. We don't want to hear the gospel. We don't pay much attention to our soul. We're more concerned about physical things and material things and the things of this life than we are the things of the Lord. And our souls, you know, we don't pay much attention to that. We'd rather have a new car to worry about our soul and where it's going to spend eternity. Amen. That's where we are in this day. So the Jew, and it bothers me and troubles me and burdens me that the Jew cannot see. It's hard for me to comprehend why people cannot see the Lord. But then I look around, I've got loved ones and you've got loved ones tonight. And it breaks my heart when you talk to them, you preach to them, you witness to them, you tell them about Christ and how He took their place on Calvary and shed His blood that they could have life and have it more abundant. And how that you can see your loved ones just kind of pass that off and look at that and go on. And why they go day after day headed toward hell and not concerned about their soul bothers me and troubles me. And it's hard for me to comprehend. But that's basically what's happened to the Jew. Amen. Except God's laid His hand on him to get him that way. Now there are Jews that are going to be saved and are saved. I've met some Jews that have been born again. Haven't you? I've met some that I believe have been birthed into the family of God. They know the Lord Jesus Christ. But they can't get saved except through Jesus Christ. He's the only hope for all mankind. Amen. It's not religion. It's not works. It's not church membership. It's Christ and His shed blood. And so we know tonight if one's going to get saved, he's going to have to get saved just like you and me. If he's going to get birthed in the family of God, he's going to have to come through Christ and repent of his sin and call upon the Lord Jesus. Now we know tonight that God is going to open and lift up that current blindness and to take it off of him. And that we'll know that there's something else. Tonight, as we look at it, he's going to bring them back into the limelight. I was reading something not too long ago, and they said there's about 200 to 300 Jews in the Holy Land. Now, this is from people who I've read after, and they got the statistics up, and there's only about 200 or 300 Christians, so-called, in the Holy Land. That sounds mighty small. But think about the Jews. I went to the Holy Land many years ago, and as I went, I would ask them, I'd say to them, "Are you a Christian? Are you saved?" And they'd say, "Christian, Christian." "Yes, Christian." But they followed after the Jewish religion and did that. And a lot of people in this world believe that they're Christian when they're not Christian. Amen. We've got people sitting on our church pews in America thinking they're Christians, and they're not. They've never been birthed in the family of God. They've taken on a form of religion, but they're not saved by God's grace. So we find a Jew, he's that way tonight. And I read after this, and it said they'd had one church established for 25 years, and all it had was 25 Christians in it. 25 people that had been birthed in the family of God. So that's how hard it is to get them over there. And it's about that hard over here in America now. Amen. Amen. How many times you've seen us have 25 and 30 at one time get saved? I remember when I was young, they did. Amen. People went to church. People got right with God. Now they don't want to get right with God. Now, one of these days when the rapture takes place and the dead in Christ rise and the church is called out, I want to give you some things that's going to take place. We're going to find out immediately, somewhere I say immediately, but sometime after the rapture of the church. I don't know how long. I don't have no Bible on to tell me how long. I don't know where it's just weeks, days, months, or years. But somewhere after the rapture of the church, there will be a religious awakening to the Jew. It may be immediate. I don't have the scripture to tell you that tonight. If I did, I'd tell it and show it to you. But I know tonight, one day after the church is called out, that the Jews' attitude toward Christ is going to change. Their blindness will be lifted. The scales will fall from their eyes. Do you remember Paul? That's a Bible chain, a Bible term, by the way. Paul got saved on the Damascus Road, and he went down there and he began to dwell on Straight Street. That's what happens to every Christian when they get saved. They start living on Straight Street. He went down to Straight Street, began to live down there, and there he was. And he had scales on his eyes, so to speak, he could not see. Now, you talk about literal scales, I'm talking about spiritual. And here he was, he hadn't eaten or sleep in 2 or 3 days. Here came Ananias. Ananias touched him and talked to him, and he got the scales lifted from his eyes, and he could begin to see. Amen. And he went out doing the work of God. So the Jews are going to be happening like that. I believe after the rapture of the church, they'll start getting curious. I believe a lot of people get curious after the rapture of the church. Amen. Some of you, if you're sitting here tonight and the rapture takes place, carry on for me, would you? Amen. If you don't make it, you said, I'm going to. I hope you are. Amen. I'd hate to get to heaven, look back and find I'd have got 3 or 4 that went with me. Amen. Well, I'm glad that tonight we can know tonight before we walk out of this walk of life. And so, as the rapture takes place, maybe those little Jews will start looking back at the Word of God a little bit more. They do not accept the New Testament. They only receive the Old Testament. And so maybe they'll read that. Maybe they'll pick up some literature, some books and writings of preachers and people. And they begin to look at it and take another look at it. And God opens their eyes. They begin to see, hey, their Messiah has already come. He died on the cross of Calvary. And their king they rejected. And he's come to get his church, and the church is in play. You see, the world don't recognize the church too much. Now, you know the two most hated groups of people in the world are what? The Jews and the church, the Christians. So tonight, we'll find that God's using the Christians. He's using the church. He used the Jew for many years. Now he's using the church to do the job that he had the Jews to do. But one of these days, our job will be over. We'll be out of here. But then I believe after the rapture of the church, what will take place is that they begin to examine the Word of God. They begin to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And then they'll start coming alive in the world. And that they're already where they need to be. They're scattered. I don't believe they're all going to go back to the Holy Land before they begin to do some work, get some things done. You see, if you'll take your Bible and go to the Revelation chapter number 7. Revelation chapter number 7, I'll give you this tonight. You know where I'm going, but I pray tonight you'll see this. And most of this is a review to some of you. But I want to get this in your mind because there's some little minute details that we haven't looked at. We just kind of give it to you in an overall. So in chapter number 7 of the book of Revelation, I've also said in a series of this study that the Jew does not know what tribe he's of. He knows he's a Jew. That's all he knows. Because the records got torn up and destroyed and burned when they destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D. by Titus and the Romans. So they do not know that they're of what tribe they are. There's 12 tribes, according to the Word of God, in the Old Testament, come from Jacob. And so we find Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Then there's the 12 tribes come out of his loins. But now, tonight, those Jews do not know what tribe, but they know that they are Jews. And there will be a period of time just after the rapture of the church, and when the Bible talks about the sixth chapter of Revelation, how that the white horse rides out and the red horse and so forth, those horses ride out. And that's a time when things are going to start taking place on the earth. But when we get in that period of time somewhere after the rapture, the Lord is going to take 144,000 Jews. That is, He's going to get 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel. And He's going to seal them with the seal of God in their forehead. And they're going to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom, amen, for the remaining time of the tribulation hour. Now, God knows where those tribes are. He knows exactly where they are tonight. Amen. You believe that, don't you? They may have lost where they are. They may have lost their bearing, but God knows exactly where every one of them are. And so one of these days, God will seal those 144,000, and then they will become the real Jehovah's Witnesses. We've got some today that say they're Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's more than 144,000 of them. And I asked one time, what's happened? If there's 144,000 of you, there's more of you than that now. What's going to happen to you? And it makes them a question, but they've got an answer for it. Amen. They won't let me and you get by with anything. They know how to answer us. And so these will be the real 144,000 Jews. Now, I've preached that before, and I had somebody ask me the other day, does that mean that only 144,000 Jews are going to be saved? And I said, no, sir. That's not what I said. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said that He's going to seal 144,000 Jews with the seal of God in their forehead. Now, that simply means that God's going to get him 144,000 preacher boys to go across the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I'm not preaching the gospel of the kingdom tonight. I'm preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. But the day of grace will be over when the rapture takes place and God calls the church out. Then those Jews will preach that gospel of the kingdom. You know why? Because they're still looking for a king, and they're still looking for a kingdom. That's what they wanted. And the Bible already promised, God said to David, upon his father David's throne, he's going to sit. Amen. So they're looking for a king. They're looking for a kingdom. Hope you get that in your mind. So they'll go back to resorting to preaching the gospel of the kingdom because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a king. They're looking for a kingdom. Amen. They're not looking for a Savior tonight. They're looking for a king. Amen. Now the church is not looking for a king. We're looking for the Savior. Amen. Because the Savior has came and purchased our redemption on Calvary. So we follow the Savior. But see what happens in these 144,000 Jews will be sealed with the seal of God in their forehead. Now, let me just tell you this. The Jews had a big part. They had a major part. They started off 100% the start of the church. Now, would you tell me what Gentiles started the church? None. Where did the church come from? Out of the Son of God. He established a church. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, who's the church built on? That's not Peter. It's Jesus. Upon this rock. Who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. So the church is built upon Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. And so tonight it's not built on anything else. Not built on religion. It's built on Jesus. And He's a Jew. Now, we go a little bit further. Who preached this first sermon after the church was established? Peter. Now, there were several preaching on the day of Pentecost. 17 different nationalities of people heard their language preached or heard the gospel preached in their language, and they come to the Lord Jesus. But Peter stood in the midst of the leaven and preached. And he preached with the power of God, and 3,000 souls got saved. First sermon the church has brought forth. And it's a Jew started it. Now, what did God say in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8? He said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be what? Witnesses. And it tells on it where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you see that in there? That's Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Now what happened? The Jews went preaching. They preached in Jerusalem. Then they went to Judea. Then they went to Samaria. Then they went to the uttermost parts of the earth. And guess what? It was on up to, we know in the 10th chapter, actually in the 9th chapter, Paul gets saved. His name's Saul. Amen, which means tall. And he got saved and changed his name to Paul, which meant small. Amen. And he goes to preaching. And now we find that he is later the preacher of the Gentiles to go preach to the Gentile world. Do you see that? Amen. And he preaches to the Gentiles. And so Paul is the preacher of the Gentiles. Although we find in chapter number 10 that Peter goes and preaches to the house of Cornelius, which is Gentiles, and he preaches to them. So guess what? The church got started off with the Jews. Now what's going to happen after the rapture of the church? The Lord's going to revert back to the Jews, and He's going to start off again. This time He's going to preach the gospel of the kingdom, and He'll be in the windup of it. So I hope you understand where we're coming from and where we're going to with all this, that you might see it. Now, in that day of tribulation, There will be some Jews tonight that will receive the Lord. 144,000 Jews will go preaching. And I want to point this out to you. They're already scattered in the uttermost parts of the world. Now, sometimes in Acts 1:8 we don't see this. But in Acts 1:8 they are scattered into all parts of the world later in the book of Acts. And that's where God said to be, where are they tonight? The Jew is scattered all around the world. So when God seals 144,000 Jews to preach the gospel of the kingdom, they won't have to be sent out from Jerusalem. Some of them will just start where they are. Amen. God's already got them around the world. They won't have to worry about raising deputation, going in deputation, raising up money to get there. They'll just start preaching. All around the world. Isn't that amazing how God's got His missionary program already scheduled? Got them ready. He's got them established around the world. And they're going to go out to preach. And so we'll see that as it happens, as it goes. But during that 7 years tribulation time, there will be some Jews that will not receive the Lord. They'll still reject it. It's amazing to me how us Gentiles have so many Gentiles that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how we have so many in the church that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior. They put on a form of religion. They put on a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They went through emotion in a form. They went down the baptismal pool. They've joined the church. They've done a lot of works. They put in, tithes and offerings, and they've done a lot of things. They've cut the grass and swept the floor and vacuumed and all those sort of things. But they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be Jews that will reject the Lord Jesus even in that time. Amen. But they'll start after they start winning those Jews to the Lord. Then God will change their attitude in them tonight that tells you they don't want to go back to Jerusalem. Don't want to go back to the Holy Land. When they get right, I'll guarantee you that's where they'll want to go. God's changed their attitude. They'll head back to Jerusalem. Brother, that's the capital of the world. They want to move downtown. They want to move to the city. The city of Jerusalem. That's where they're going to go back. That's where the Jews are going. Amen. They got to move some land over there for them to have room. Amen. And everybody's worrying about them tonight going in the West Bank and, over there, getting to where they are, trying to push them back and all that. And they're trying to knock the Jew for it. Listen, they're having to fight for their life tonight. They're having to fight to sustain their life. Amen. That's their land to start with. And those folks might as well pack their bags. One day they're moving out. It may not be that crowd tonight, but their family, them or their families will move out of that place. They're going to get that land. He said, Abraham, look at that land. You see as far as you can see? Yes, sir. Look up this land, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. And Abraham turned around in a 360-degree circle, looked back and said, Amen, thank you, Lord. He said, hey, that's all your land. What you see is going to be you and your seeds forever. That promise has not taken place yet, but the God that made the promise will keep the promise. It will happen. Those Jews will get their land. Are you with me so far? Amen. Now listen, we'll find tonight that they are going to return back to their homeland. They're already getting into that. Now, what's going to happen when they start getting back to their homeland? Things are going to change politically. There will be a political thing. There's going to be some changes made. There will be a confederacy in the political world. And something's going to happen until an Antichrist comes on the scene. Now, who is the Antichrist? I don't know. I've heard people talk about the Antichrist. They said Kissinger was, they said Reagan was, they said, what was it, Carter was, and they went all this stuff, and I've heard that all my life, and different ones, and I don't pay no attention. I'm not telling you who the Antichrist is. You know why I ain't telling you? Because I don't know. Amen. And I'm not going to intend to tell you tonight. And those folks don't know either. Just like people don't know when the Lord's coming. Amen. The fellow said, I was in South Carolina, and this fellow come out, and you know how it is, you write a book, you make money, you know. And so he come out and he said, I want to give you 88 reasons why the Lord's coming in 1988. Now I looked on my calendar this morning, or tonight, and I found out that we're in 2014. And we done passed 1988 and it didn't happen. Amen, I'm imagining that might have been a good seller at one time, but it went down after 1988. Amen. And we're not date setters. The Bible teaches us to watch out for people who says to tell you when. Listen, the Lord Himself does not know when He's coming. God will say to His Son, His time, and He will get up and come back and get the church. Amen. So, I will tell you this much, I know when He's coming. He's coming at the appointed time. He will not be late. He will not be early. Amen. He'll be right on time. I may be in the graveyard. I may be behind the pulpit preaching. I may be outside somewhere. But I'll tell you, He's coming back. And if I'm pushing up daisies, amen, He won't bypass me. I've got the blood applied. My soul's been redeemed. And thank God when the trumpet sounds, my ears will pluck up and stick up like a dog. Amen. You're whistling for Him. Amen. And I'm going home. Yes, sir. I'm glad I know that. Well, who is the Antichrist? I've heard people say he's going to be this and he's going to be that. Somebody said he's going to be a Syrian Jew. Somebody said he's going to be that. But I've always thought of this, and I've listened to most everybody. But Antichrist is anti means against, and it also means opposite. Amen. And so I've looked at this and I thought, yeah, I believe it'll be a Gentile. You can say what you want to. Now this is speculation. This is pure deals-ology. I have no Bible to back me. So I'm treading out in some waters. I'm just giving you what this preacher thinks. And I'll try to tell you that when I'm thinking it and not trying to quote the Scriptures. All right? So that you won't get confused and go out and say that he said the Bible said. I didn't say the Bible said this. But the reason I say tonight that he'd be a Gentile is because, first of all, the world would not recognize a Jewish leader at this time. There's no world tonight, no country, a major country that would, as a whole, would accept a Jewish ruler. Amen. But they would a Gentile. And I have seen in my day that the Jews will recognize Gentile rulership. So when a Gentile steps out on the scene and makes an agreement with those Jews and said, hey, we're going to make a covenant with you, and we're going to set it up to where now you're going to have some peace and you're going to have your land and you can have harmony. And then when he sets up that thing and finds out it's going to take place and they begin to start looking at it, and bro, that's what's going to happen. He's going to covenant with them for 7 years. And then that portion of 7 years, for the first 3.5 years of that time, those Jews will prosper. Those Jews will have a land, they'll think it's a land of milk and honey. They'll think it's a land of peace. The turmoil will be down. The Scud missiles will quit firing. And those Jews over there will be happy. They'll look at that and they'll think everything's going all right. And the world thinks it's going to go all right too. And they'll even have not only a political leader, but they'll have a spiritual outfit with this. And we're not going to get into all what's going to happen. There's a whole lot in there. But the spiritual realm will step in too. And they're going to say to them Jews, now you can go back to your old time worship like you were before, and you can offer your sacrifices, and you can do your sacrificial worship. Now I've got something to say about that tonight. Those Jews that do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ will jump to that thought. Because that's what they want to do. You say, what about them that get saved? Them that get saved during the tribulation hour, brother, amen, they won't want that. But the others will. They'll go into that little worship in the Bible, and I showed you some scripture the other day where that they'll work together and they'll worship. Some on the outside, some on the inside, and they'll separate those things. They're working about the Mosque of Omar tonight, and that's a Muslim temple. Somebody said that's where they're going to build their temple. I don't know where they're going to build their temple. They may share the thing. I don't know. You said, what do you know? I don't know much about that. They don't either tell you these things. I don't have no scripture for those things. If I don't have scripture, I can't tread the water. But if it's black and white, I can say, hey, it's what God said. But somewhere during that time, they'll have some religious freedom. And then all of a sudden, they will break that covenant in the midst of that tribulation. Amen. I hadn't read you a whole lot of Scripture, but I'm giving to you some here in just a minute. Usually we spend more time in the Scriptures than we do in what I'm just saying. But I'm just giving you some ideas of things to go with. Now, according to the Word of God, and I want you to turn over to the book of Zechariah. Where in the world, Zechariah, preacher? Go to the last book of the Old Testament, which is the book of Malachi, back up one. And that ought to put you in the ballpark. Amen. If you've got the right kind of Bible. Amen. And I reckon even the perverted Bibles have them in this order. But in Zechariah, chapter 13. There's 14 chapters in the book of Zechariah. Let's go to chapter 13. Now, reading with me tonight in Zechariah 13. And this is yet future. The Bible said in Zechariah 13, verse number 8. Give it time to turn. When you get there, say amen. All right, we're there. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part, or the third, shall be left therein. Now, you may misinterpret this, but I want you to look at what it says. He's talking about three-thirds or a whole, and he's saying this two-thirds are going to be cut off. Now, look at verse number 9. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, according to the book of Zechariah here, that what's going to happen, that the covenant's going to be broken, and the red horse is going to ride out. The white horse come out, he had the bow, but he didn't have any arrows. He had authority and power, but he didn't have no place or nothing to take lives with. But when the red horse rides out, he has a sword. And he's coming out to take, and it says that in the 6th chapter of Revelation, when the red horse rides out. He's going to come out to take peace from the earth. That's why I said a while ago that the Israelites will have some peace, and it's going to look like it's going to be peace. And they've been having peace from here and there, but it's not been lasting peace. And they're going to have another, and it's going to look even better in the tribulation hour. But there'll never be no peace to the people of God and to Israel until the Prince of Peace Himself comes. And that's beyond where I'm talking about here tonight. But in Zechariah chapter number 13, he tells us in this, what's going to happen is that about a third or two-thirds of those people are going to lose their lives. Those Jews are going to, you know why? They have to take on a mark. That mark of the beast, which is 666. And if they don't have that mark, they cannot buy, they cannot sell, and they lose their lives. If they take that mark, it's just like, taking on the devil, and they lose their soul if they take on that mark. But if they refuse that mark tonight, and most of them Jews are going to know to refuse it, amen. That's one thing they taught in the Word of God, not to put a mark on them. Amen. I wish America could learn that. Everywhere you go, they're all tattooed up. I don't believe you ought to put tattoos. I'm just throwing this into the side. A sneaky preacher, I like to do it. Amen. You don't need all them tattoos. Amen. I'm ugly enough without another. I got tattooed pretty good with all the moles and the scars I've got already. Don't need to go get nothing else. Amen. I looked in the mirror this morning. I know I don't look all that swooped. Amen. I don't care what you say. Amen. Thought I'd go the other way, didn't you? All right, but I'm telling you, I look in the Word of God. I see it tonight in the Word, what's going to happen. And I see this, and I understand it. So the Lord's going to come, and they're going to have to take that mark of the beast or die. They will not take that mark, so their lives will be in jeopardy. And many of them will die. And that's the reason the Lord said, except He cut the days short, that He cut it short for the elect. Amen. That's His people. And so tonight, I believe what's going to happen is that's going to take place. Now turn to the book of Revelation. I'm just about done. Amen. I could go on and on for a while. But we'll not go any further, but just a little bit here. In chapter number 19 of the book of Revelation, what's going to happen is, during that last half of the tribulation, and you can study it, chapter 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 of the book of Revelation, you'll find out how those Jews, not only the Jews, but the entire world, is going to be in a time of Jacob's trouble, when God's going to judge the earth. Now remember, the Gentiles are still trodden down. They're trodding down the Jew. They're still in control. But God's going to put a stop to all of it. Amen. I get so tired of the turmoil. Amen. Of what I see around the land. I get tired of church people fighting. I get tired of families fighting. I get tired of the world fighting. I get tired of countries fighting. Amen. I'd like to see peace. Wouldn't you like to see peace? Yes, sir. All right, Revelation chapter 19. When you study Revelation 19, you find that the saints of God are coming back with the Lord. And I want you to go down to verse number 17. Here's what's going to happen. The Bible said, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God." What's happened? The world has got against Israel. The world is not only against Israel, but if you get against Israel, you get against God. Amen. That's God's people. You're against Israel, you're against God. You know that? You're against the Jew, you're against God. And God's going to take care of bringing the saints of God back with Him, and then He's going to have the battle of Armageddon here. Brother, who's going to win that battle? The Lord. Amen. Some of you hesitated there. I'm wondering about you. You shouldn't have hesitated at all about that. Verse 18, "That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." This is the world coming against God. Amen. They're already working against the Jew. Brother, they're gathering over there in that place. And they're going to come back to the earth. That's where the Lord's coming. That's where He left from. Amen. Everybody thinks America's the central part of the world. They better wake up and find out Israel is the central part of the world. They better recognize tonight that God deals with the Jew. That's His people. You better not mess with His people. Amen. Anything that get me upset, you start messing with my family. Amen. Ain't that right? Amen. You can work on my neighbors, and I won't like it. And amen, I got a few of them. I might not say nothing. But after a while, I may put in my 2 cents worth. But you can go to messing my family, and brother, I'll tell you tonight, that's off limits. And so what's happening? They're messing with God's people, His family. And then in verse number 20, He said, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." One more verse. "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him." The remnant of who? The ungodly, those who had come against him. "Slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." God said, "I'll feed them to the birds." Amen. That's not the last battle of the Bible, but that's one of the biggest ones. Now you said, "What about the last battle?" I'll give it to you in just a minute. Closing, I'll give you this. I don't have much time to say about anything about it now. But when you get to chapter number 20, you'll find that that God's going to grab a hold of the devil. I hope somewhere I'm in the shadows watching it. And He's going to cast him in the bottomless pit, brother, and put a chain on him. Somebody says he's on the chain gang now. He's on a mighty long chain then. He's roaming the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. That's what the Bible said. "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Brother, I'll tell you, one of these days I hope that I get to see it. The Lord's going to take him, throw him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and for 1,000 years. You know what the devil's going to do? Same thing he's been trying to do for everybody else, make them fall. He's going to be falling and falling and falling and falling. That's a mighty big pit God's going to put him in. When you get to the bottomless pit, what's that mean? He'll never hit the bottom. You never hear him go thug. But he'll fall for 1,000 years. That's a long time to fall. He'll just be tumbling. Amen. God put him in his tumble dryer and he'll dry him out for a while. Amen. There he is. Brother, he'll be there. Now the Bible said in verse number 7, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." What's he do? He comes out. You said, why would God put him in there and then take him back out again? I'm going to give you this to think on, this to mull over in your mind, this to chew on. Why would God take the devil out after He's cast him into the bottomless pit? And why would He ever let him out of there again? Looks like God's doing us a disservice. No, during that millennial reign, there will be some people born to those Jews. There's going to be some children born. And during that 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a pretty good little while. Amen. Since I ain't even made 100 of them. Ain't that right? 1,000 years is a pretty good little while. A lot of children will be born. And they will grow up not having the devil around to tempt them. Amen. And so what happens? God looses the devil for a little season so that he'll go out and do... You said, that's not the way God works. That's why God has got this in the book. God is no respecter of persons. So what happens? The devil goes out to try to deceive the nations again, to deceive the people. And that's exactly what he does. Says in verse number 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations with all which are in the four quarters. That means what? North, east, south, and west. That means the entire world. And this is what he's going to say. Quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, in 1,000 years. Now, can you see the number? Somebody said in 1,000 years, just be a little handful. Not so. Look at this. There's a number according to the sand of the sea. You see it? There's a number. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city in fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. God's pretty good at fire. He done blowed away Sodom and Gomorrah. He cast people into hell that does not know His Son. That's what God does. And one of these days, God's going to bring fire down again. That's not the only times He brought it down, but God will bring fire down again. This time He'll destroy them. And then in verse number 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. That's where he's going to be. And he said, a fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And brother, I got that marked in my Bible. Forever and ever. Forever and ever. I like to tell the devil, I know where you're going forever and forever. Devil, I know where you're headed. Forever and ever. Thank God. It don't do me no good sometimes to do it because he gets on my case. He don't like that. But I'll tell you, I like to remind him. Well, somebody said, you remember what you used to do? The devil crawl on you and say, you know how bad you've been. You know what you've done. You know those things you've done. And he's trying to remind you of your past to bring guilt to you. Take him over in the Bible and show him what his future is. Amen. That'll singe a hair on his head. Amen. Then in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. What's going to happen then? The dead or that don't know the Lord are going to be raised up, and hell will have its little reprieve for just a little short time. Hell, and I say this a lot of times, and I don't mean this sarcastically, but I've said that hell is not forever. One of these days, God will bring the people out of hell. Death and hell will give up the dead. They'll stand before God. They'll be judged according to deeds and what the writings are in the book. And then God will cast them into the lake of fire. Hell will be over and they'll be in the lake of fire forever. Amen. You see that? That's what he said in verse number 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And brother, that's the eternal judgment. And after that, God said, now I got all of it took care. My book is complete. The plan's all done. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church I've dealt with. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to make them all a better place to live. And He's going to make them a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And we ought to preach on that for about an hour and a half. But look like you've done some of you, pink behind the gills right now. Some of you look like you're gasping for air. We'll just quit right here. Amen. And let you go at that. Amen. I pray tonight God will help you and strengthen you. I like to look at the view of the Word of God. It's plain, it's simple. We can understand it. Thank God tonight for the Word of God. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment as they come to the instruments. Amen. It is good to know the Lord. Good to know the work of the Lord and the Word of God. Thank God tonight we can understand things. And Brother God can give us the wisdom to know how to rightly divide the Word of truth. All right. Let's stand, please, and we're going to play. Just keep your heads bowed for a moment. If there's any reason tonight that you need to come to the altar, it's open. And pray that you would come, that you'd let the Lord speak, and you'll listen to the Lord as He does speak tonight. If there's a need in your life, you can get it settled right here at this church, right here at this altar. Amen. I can't settle it for you, and the church can't do it for you, but you can do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, I'll pray as we start, God would speak to you, you'd listen to the Lord, and you'll pay attention to what the Lord has to say tonight. Amen. We'll give God the praise and the glory for what He's going to accomplish in your heart and life. How about it? The altar's open. Would you come? whatever need there might be.